Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulp and International New York edition with yours truly, D. Shipman. It's 8:26, 2019, 10:30 in the a.m. and a cool, pleasant Monday morning. Hope you had a good weekend. I had a interesting one, I'll put it that way. No, I mean, really, my weekends have not been bad. We've been at the new location for a few weeks now, and it's a lot of chicanery and foolishness going on here in the new location. We're trying to get it sorted out. Nothing to be unexpected. Let me put it that way. It's not unexpected. It really is, people doing things the way they have always done things, and when they see a new person in town, they try to get them to conform. And in this particular case, they're doing something that's unethical and quite possibly unlawful. And I simply am not playing ball, so they're threatening to cut critical services if I don't. And at that point, we're all going to end up in court. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to mediate a resolution with some stakeholders that I know we're not cool by any means, stretch of the imagination. But I mean, serious people, know that, court can go either way. It's not necessarily, you go on with a meritorious case and you win. It doesn't work that way, which is why if I can avoid going in there at all, of course I do. But, some people are just so unreasonable that you can't help it, man. You really... you have to, literally do what you have to do. So, at any rate, the preseason has been on now. I have Charter. They call it Spectrum out here. And I've never had this service before. They have fiber, but they only run it to the pole. They run coax or from the pole to wherever you're receiving it at. Excuse me, the coaxial terminal, so they don't run a ONT to the house, optical network terminal to the house, which would be preferable. But in this case, it works for me anyway because we need to either rehabilitate the house or raise it. So we're trying to make a determination of what's going to be more cost effective because either is expensive. Rehabilitating would be very expensive because of the age of the house and the condition of some of the support beams, the rafters and the sills and the joists and the studs, those things are rotted out completely in some areas. So, there's people that can work on things like that. But again, it's very expensive because these people are craftsmen, so they charge craftsmen prices, which are 2 to 3 to 4 times more than, the average carpenter, which is, very expensive. I think they charge, union carpenters $40, $50, $60, $70 an hour. I'm not really sure. But somewhere in that ballpark. I'm trying to make a determination of what to do. I've cut my costs substantially, but they have risen temporarily very high, and I'm going to address that today and tomorrow, God willing, God is good. We potentially have another contract. I'm waiting for the client to get back to me, and that should stave off, destitution. No, I'm only kidding. We're all right. We just have to, once we get over this little hill, these glitches, everything should should be smooth. If it doesn't, then, oh, well, we have to do what we have to do. That's, you know, be unfortunate, but, you know, no one bullies me. I'm not stupid. You know, I have more degrees than the thermometer, and I certainly know the law. So if you want to play games, then that's what we'll do. We'll end up in court, and, you know, we'll let the chips fall where they may. So, Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker, you know, is still on television lying. I watched some, you know, again, I was talking, you know, I go on these long excursions, but I always get back to where I started from. I was talking about Charter Spectrum. So the television is literally frozen on the news, which went off about 2.5 hours ago. The service is so poor. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they have a broken line or one of their satellite feeds is down. I mean, it's just awful. Half the local programming, which should all be in HD, is half of it is in standard definition, which is 480p. It's a 70-year-old technology. And the HD that they do have on local programming, which they don't have a lot of, most of it is from Baltimore. I don't know why that they're broadcasting Baltimore channels on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. But at any rate, they're very compressed. You know, ordinarily people wouldn't be able to see this, but you know, our business model is driven by technology, so you know, we know what, you know, what high definition is, what standard definition, 4G. Yeah, I mean, you know, 5G, the next generation, which is 4K. In terms of television, they don't even broadcast in that standard. So, you know, there was some, you know, television antenna I was looking at the other day. And, you know, they were talking about, yeah, you get all the latest 4K, you know, broadcasts. And I was saying, well, there is no one, to my knowledge, and we're on the cutting edge of this stuff, that's broadcasting in 4K. And even if they were, you have to have a television, just like back when they started color broadcasts, I believe in 48. The first color, well, I'm not sure if that was, it was 48 or the early, or mid-50s, you know, I'm thinking television altogether. You had to have a color television to see, you know, to receive color images, which was fantastic at the time, you know. We grew up, you know, my house, and, you know, my parents were very frugal. And if you didn't have color, you know, I mean, they didn't really care. I mean, we watched black and white television, so I was almost an adult. I mean, I was a teenager. I mean, I've watched, don't get it twisted, I've seen color, I had sore or seen, you know, color television, you know, visiting friends and family and that sort of thing. But we didn't physically have, or I didn't physically have one until I moved out. And I moved in with, you know, other relatives, and they had color television, that sort of thing. And I was able to watch it at that point and finally got my own television. So that's that with that. You know, that's the only thing I have a complaint about. The sporadic service is really, really, really extremely poor for fiber. I'm shocked. I mean, I've never, you know, had a cable system that was, it was, I mean, it's literally, it's the worst I have ever had. I mean, I used to, many, many years ago when I was first starting out my career, I was a social worker with the state of New York, and I lived in the woods, man. I used to commute at first, you know, and then eventually someone, well, a lot of them felt sorry for me, but they didn't really, you know, one or two offered to allow me to stay in their homes, but I was uncomfortable with that sort of thing. I'd rather, you know, I had an apartment in Queens, and I used to just commute the 90 miles per day. You know, 180 miles total. So I put 100,000 miles on my Beamer in the first year. I kid you not. You know, what with the travel, the commute back and forth from Queens to Kingston, and then you know, my catchment area was 150 square miles, so put a lot of mileage on that car, man. It really held up. I don't even remember getting a service. at any rate, I finally wanted a HAB spec. Well, you know, I'm using some of the lingo that we use in there. She was a habilitation specialist. That particular DDSO is now closed, as a matter of fact. And so she had a loft apartment, you know, and she allowed me to stay up there really, really cheap. The rent was extremely cheap, and I loved the place. But you hear all the animals in the rafters, and if you could deal with that, you were all right. And it was warm and cozy. You know, the only thing you had to deal with, like I said, was, you know, listening to the animals in the rafters, you know. But I had Time Warner out there. This is in the woods, man. I kid you not, man. This is deep in the woods. I mean, you think I live in the woods now. That was in the woods for real. And it was excellent. High-speed internet, high-speed computer. I used to, you know, me and, you know, the ladies that would visit me, you know, we watch, you know, movies on my computer, or, you know, or I don't know, we had a little television. I guess I had a television at that point. I don't really recall, but we used to watch movies and hang out and just chill, man. I mean, you know, it was a blast. But at any rate, the point I'm trying to make is that the service was, you know, compared to this, I mean, you know, then the internet drops for no reason. I guess someone in their engineering department or service department, I don't know what you would call it, you know, got back to me this morning and said they're going to, you know, figure out something. I don't know what they're going to figure out. You know, it's got to be a break in the wire or something, or, you know, one of their transmitters. It could be a number of things. I can't sit here and figure out every single possible reason that this is, you know, I'm not getting good service, but I'm not. So I'm not unhappy. I'm just, you know, I just, you know, whenever you make a major life move, you know there are going to be some complication. They haven't been totally bad. I mean, I've dealt with most of them. This next one could, you know, could be major, but we're hoping to work through it. That's all we can do is work through everything and try to negotiate. This is what, you know, this is where I'm at in my life, where I'm trying to mitigate stress. I mean, I talked about this many months ago, you know, after the death of my my partner, Roberta, you know, she passed away, and I was like, I cannot deal with stress any longer, because I don't want to be, you know, following her out this world when I have a school-age child still to raise. And, you know, I've watched a lot of people in my age and at my age and in my age range, man, leave here, you know, because of stress and, you know, poor dietary habits and, you know, drug and alcohol abuse and, you know, a whole host of avoidable situations. And I, you know, and in my case, it's just been the stress, because I don't do basically any of that stuff. I don't drink. And I do smoke cigars. But, and I have been smoking them a little more than I ordinarily would, but I don't inhale. That still doesn't mean you can't get esophageal or throat or, you know, lip or, you know, cancer of the mouth or something like that. But, you know, I try to, you know, everything in moderation. That's my key. So, you know, that's what I'm disappointed about. I guess if you could talk about disappointment, you know, I'm disappointed mainly because I came down primarily to mitigate stress in my life, and then you know, you have people that are engaged in, you know, overt misconduct, and, you know, it has to be addressed. I mean, I'm not going to deal with stuff like that. You know, I'm not going to allow people just bully. I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, this situation is so, I wish I could share, but I cannot. It's just too personal. But it's just so outrageously unethical that, you know, it just boggles the mind how, you know, and people, at any rate, let me, because I'm getting myself worked up here. So at any rate, Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker left, I believe, Friday, don't quote me as gospel, for a trip to the G7, which is a consortium of the seven most powerful economic engines in the world, you know, and they're mainly European countries, some Asian, I believe, Japan and South Korea is there, who themselves are embroiled in a conflict. I don't know what that's all about, because they're allies and they're in the Pacific Rim, and you know, suddenly, you know, but this is what happens in absence of American leadership. And Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker, a.k.a. Clueless the Clown, is not a leader by far. He ran a family-owned business where he was unaccountable. He didn't have to answer anyone. Everyone answered to him. And although they had titles, they were basically functionaries. They did what he said, when he said, or they would be jobless. It was that simple. So he's bringing that same ethos, or he has attempted to bring that same ethos into the White House, and they have tried to, and by they, I mean, you know, this career civil servants that work in these institutions have tried to rein him in. And they have been, you know, overwhelmingly unsuccessful, and he has succeeded in dismantling many conventions as a consequence, but in this particular case, where he's at the G7 and has embroiled us in a trade war, he got on television this morning, you know, basically lying, talking about the billions of dollars that we're getting from China and how he has passed on that money to the farmers who are very happy with him and his policy. Now, to his credit, not necessarily to his credit, but, you know, I have heard farmers echo these sentiments, I, you know, and of course it's anecdotal, it's biographical. I don't believe by means stretch the imagination, you know, because I listen to the Farmers Union, which is, you know, an association of planters, farmers, that sort of thing. You know, you know, relatively small farms. I mean, he's an agribusiness, ConAgra, and you know, those sort of things. But at any rate, you know, I don't believe all the farmers are happy with him, man. Their fortunes depend on their ability to sell their goods. And if they're not able to sell to the biggest markets that they have access to, then, of course, that's going to cut into their profits substantially. And their earnings have been down for consecutive years as a consequence of Chump's you know, ill thought out, you know, because he does things impetuously. There's no forethought. Just like, you know, he sort of had the same type of of success that Obama had when he went after bin Laden so earlier. And you never hear about this anymore because they give this guy pass after pass after pass, especially the media and the so-called liberal media. I don't know what a so-called liberal media is because everybody seems to be giving this guy a pass. He lies prodigiously, and there is no pushback from anybody. They don't even call it lies. They say, well, it's not true or whatever. I mean, anything. And this is the problem with you know, with white liberals. So we can go into that. Malcolm X has talked about that extensively. And I also push back. There's a whole publication called The Daily Kos, which is full of these people. And they're basically closeted racists. There's no other way to parse it. And so they act like they're on your side, and they, you know, they're for reparations or equal rights and, you know, police reform and all this foolishness. But if you don't agree to act in a manner that they feel fit, how you ought to protest or how you ought to articulate your grievance, then they'll attack you. They really will. So at any rate, Trump is lying, you know. And, you know, at some point, I think these people are, you know, I'm you know, I'm not typically cynical this way, and I don't want to be. I really don't. Which is why, in a way, I'm kind of happy that I'm going to go on a little road trip, clear my mind. But I really think these people are prepared to endure as much pain as possible to maintain their tenuous status as, you know, card-carrying members of the white race. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's true nevertheless. Really is. And, you know, at the point where people are prepared to do that, to endure as much pain as necessary to maintain the status quo, man, you know, that's pretty difficult to beat. It's just like, in these countries where, you know, people, you know, commit suicide by bomb, you know, where they're willing to walk into a crowded, you know, queue or restaurant or club or wedding, whatever it be, you insert what you will there and blow themselves up and everybody else around them. It's just outrageous. When people don't care about their lives, man, and they don't care about their livelihood in order to maintain a structural imbalance, that's difficult to beat, man. And I'm hoping that, you know, we beat this guy, you know. I'm not worried about the Democratic nominee. Well, I don't want to say nominees. Well, the Democrats that are running for office. But I was sharing something with the head of the Democratic Party, you know, here. And I was saying that, you know, you have a lot of people, and especially African-Americans, you know, in office, whose ambition, you know, exceeds their work ethic. And so we don't need people like that in office. We need workers, man. We need people that are going to, going to hustle, going to do whatever is necessary legally and ethically to achieve the outcomes that, our communities desire. So that's where I'm at with that, you know, basically. So we're going to, and you got to, you know, and I know that life's about struggle and, you know, some pain and, you know, but you got to keep struggling. I'm willing to do it, but, you know, the victories can't be few and the losses many, you know, so that's not something that we're going to deal with. So we're waiting to see. So there hasn't been any really, I guess the point I'm trying to make is there really hasn't been any bad news. The guy hasn't blown up the talks like he has in previous outings there, you know, in previous outings, the guy has really been outrageous. I mean, he really has. And so he's kind of, you know, somewhat more subdued now. And you know, it's a good thing. You know, we need that. We need more of it. You know, where everything is not necessarily smooth, but certainly stable. And then we can work through the other issues that we have, the economic issues. Because, you know, something else that struck me, and I just wanted to share this as this show gets ready to come to a close. I was listening to Farad, who has a show on CNN. I don't usually watch the show, but like I said, that illustrates, you know, why, you know, at any rate, the shows that I would usually watch on Saturday, MSNBC and 60 Minutes and stuff like that, I couldn't get any of that because of the service failures yesterday and over the weekend. Maria Farad, and he was saying how far behind, and I talk about this all the time, and I think about it all the time, that what is wrong with these people in the United States, man? China is graduating more scientists, mathematicians, engineers than we are. They're opening up universities at a record pace. They're investing in infrastructure. They're investing in technology. You know, what they're not stealing, they're investing in. And we do nothing. I mean, it's just, if you think about it, it is just mind-boggling how quickly we are falling because, you know, you have a segment of people in this country, a party, who puts profit before everything. They don't look at the Chinese think long term. They really do. They don't think, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down. They think hundreds of years in the future. And this myopia that we have here in the United States, this short-sightedness, is, you know, our bridges, roads, our airports, our, you know, our electricity grid, our inability to have affordable high-speed internet. You got to pay $40, $50, $60 a month. In Europe, they have far faster internet for way less money. And you think about this stuff and you say, what are the policymakers, the stakeholders, the lawmakers doing? You know, as America crumbles and we sit silently on the sidelines, idly doing nothing. You know, a country that used to be the envy of the world, and we're just watching it crumble before our eyes, and everybody's buying into this notion that, you know, the economy is great, it's white hot, everybody's doing well. It's not true. It's not true. You know, the vast majority of jobs in this country come from small businesses, and small businesses are suffering. Not because they're over-regulated, even though that was some of the problem, but because the economy is not doing good enough to generate the income necessary for them to sustain their business model. It's that simple. And so we're going to talk more in the future about this, and Jump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker is going to eventually do. Next year we're being solidly in the midst of re-election season, so we're going to have a lot of fodder discussed there. But until then, you have a great week, a safe one, and definitely a prosperous one.
It's all part of the